yeah, let's get to Jeremiah. And Mr. Wilson apparently has heard me preach a few times and has elected this time to give me three verses. With the intention, I'm sure, of cutting down the amount of time I speak. Unfortunately, it's going to take me a chapter and a half to deal with the three verses, so I don't know if it's going to work, Mr. Wilson. I appreciate so much this opportunity to be here. When he mentions that there's a prison there in California, that's certainly true. It kind of borders on Oregon and Nevada. You know what I'm saying here? 40 million people are held in bondage in California. That's really true. The church here may be greater than the entire congregational churches of California. By that I mean simply that I don't know how many men have not bowed the knee in California. It is a dark, dark place. Maybe just a little bit like Judah that Jeremiah had to talk about. So let's take a look at chapter 5, Jeremiah chapter 5, and we'll get the first five verses, or first nine verses of chapter 5 here. And God is asking Jeremiah to do something here. He says, "Roam to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem, and look now and take note, and seek in her open squares, if you can find a man, if there is one who does justice, who seeks truth, then I will pardon her. And although they say, 'As the Lord lives,' surely they swear falsely. O Lord, do not thine eyes, thine eyes look for truth. Thou hast smitten them, but they did not weaken. Thou hast consumed them, but they refused to take correction. They have made their faces harder than rock. They have refused to repent. Then I said, 'They are only the poor. They are foolish, for they do not know the way of the Lord or the ordinance of their God. I will go to the great and will speak to them, for they know the way of the Lord and the ordinance of God. But they too, with one accord, have broken the yoke and burst the bonds. Therefore, a lion from the forest shall slay them, a wolf of the desert shall destroy them, a leopard is watching their cities, everyone who goes out of them shall be torn in pieces, because their transgressions are many, and their apostasies are numerous. Why should I pardon you? Your sons have forsaken me, and sworn by those who are not gods. When I have fed them to the full, they committed adultery. They trooped to the harlot's house. They were well-fed, lusty horses, each one neighing after his neighbor's wife. Shall I not punish these people, declares the Lord, and on a nation such as this shall I not revenge myself?" My topic is calling the nation to repentance, and I'm not sure if that's the topic for the entire meeting or not, but I imagine it'll be pretty close to that. So let's pray. Our great God and Father, as we look tonight into your word, I pray, Lord, that what I have to share and the speakers who will follow in the next day and a half, Lord, that our hearts will be pricked, and that we who need to about any issue would repent. Father, there can be no option. If we will not repent, then we will perish. I ask God you'll bless us tonight. Bless my words as I try to share what you have written here for us to understand. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, he's told Jeremiah, "I want you to check it out. You look around. Is there one man who seeks the truth? Just one. I'll pardon Judah if you will. Just find one man of faith, one man who tells the truth, one man who will serve." How many men did Abraham bargain the Lord down to with Sodom and Gomorrah? 10. We dropped the standards for Judah to one. Anybody want to guess what happened to Judah? Must have been some problems there. Verse 2, using as the Lord lives. It just didn't mean anything anymore. When we use his name in any connections, it better be meaningful. It better be meaningful. He doesn't like it when we use his name in any other fashion. It didn't mean anything. Have you ever heard anyone today say, "As God is my witness," worldly or in the church? And did they really mean it? because if God was standing next to them as their witness, I think he'd have left town. I don't think you could have called him up as a witness in a court for most of those people. What they were claiming he was a witness to, he didn't see. Not the way they're going to describe it. And I'm talking about today. And certainly the same thing was back then. Using as the Lord lives, let's do this or that or the other thing. And look what he finds when he asks that. They swear falsely. I'd say they're probably liars. That sounds like something they better repent about. Verse 3, God says, Jeremiah's responding, you've brought discipline. You've given them reason to change. You know, how long do you discipline your children? And why? So that they'll change. It's a behavior you don't want them to reinforce by allowing it to go on. So you discipline your children because you want your child to change. Is he talking about corporal punishment here for the nation? In a sense, yes. The next step is total destruction. You want total destruction for your children? Let them run wild. You know, I look around here, and I happened to glance over here. I saw Cliff, and it reminded me yesterday night as we went to the assembly, jokingly talking a little bit about things that have happened to the two of us follically, you know. 1981, it wasn't gray, and there was some. It's been 30 years, and as I looked around Wednesday night, Mr. Wilson, you know, there's a lot of old people here in Bozeman now. And there's a lot of young people. I didn't know, Mr. Wilson, when you immersed me, that I would look forward to the day when my grandson would play with your grandson. But I'm glad it's here. God has been pretty patient. Based on what I read here, verse 9, shall I not punish these people, declares the Lord, and on a nation such as this shall I not avenge myself? I don't think there's much going on in America that he hasn't got every right to avenge himself on today. Ghana, when I was there in 2005, it certainly was true. I don't think it's different. When I was in Amsterdam, no different. Just walking around the airport in London was adequate to see what London's like. I haven't been to Belarus or some of these other places, but I don't think they're God-fearing nations. It's interesting as we go deeper into the Scripture what the people will do to try to get it. You know, these people, in fact, prefer the punishment instead of repentance. Talk about what happens today, if you don't believe me. AIDS, we don't want to change. We just want to get drugs so we can get by. I can remember a time here preaching about AIDS and what is going to happen in the sweeping of our country. Well, it did, but it sort of went underground. You know, 20, 30 years ago, that was the big hot topic was AIDS and what are we going to do about it? And the right thing was quarantine and cut it off. Instead, we've come up with cocktails. Well, drug cocktails. Those cocktails now are killing them too. Surprise, surprise. But I can tell you that you can convert a person who has AIDS. You know, what's the drug situation in America today? You think any of this might, perhaps, as we look at the Scripture, be just a little bit of that corporal punishment coming on America, coming on the world? Are we waiting for another nation to arise, another republic, so that the gospel can go forward again? Do you think there's going to be a replacement for America? I don't anticipate it. I believe we're in the last days. I don't know how long they're going to last, but they last. You don't think so? How about 9/11? Did we deserve 9/11? I think there's enough evidence to suggest we may have even promulgated it. Verse 4. It's the poor people. You know, they really don't have the education. They don't understand. They're foolish. They don't know the Lord. But clearly, the leaders will. They understand. The leaders know. They're in charge. They got to understand. They'll be better, right? Verse 5. What does he say about the leaders? I will go to the great. I will speak to them. (Clears throat) For they know the way of the Lord and the ordinance of God, but they too, with one accord, have broken the yoke and burst the bonds. Is he talking about just the nation, the leaders of the nation, the political leaders, the spiritual leaders? You know, prophets and the priests and the kings, kind of all connected up in there. Jeremiah goes to the leaders and he says, uh-oh. The poor people who don't know better are no better than the leaders who do know better. You think he's talking about moral corruption in the leadership? We don't have that problem today, do we? I mean, just because it's happening in the Oval Office, if you don't recall, a guy named Bill Clinton should have been impeached, was impeached. They didn't finish the process. They should have thrown him out to some desert island, you know, let him play Survivor. How about the governor of California, you know, stops being governor and all of a sudden all the truth comes out. He's been a fornicator his whole marriage. Got a child with another woman. Wonderful. Our leaders know better. Hey, you know what? They do know better. The leaders know enough to know there is a God, even if the poor people don't. The leaders do. They've had education. Education should lead you to the point where you understand more things about God. They have to work hard to deny God because their teaching and what you understand will always point you to God, never away. Wow, we got some more leaders. How about Barney Frank? Anybody know who Barney Frank is? Yeah? Homosexual in Congress. Leading that agenda. But surely not the church. Surely not in the church. My daughter Anna, her husband, bought a house and it's the north part of Denver. They've been attending a congregation in the south part of Denver. And so they recently started to fellowship with the one in the north who actually has a Christian school, which is a good thing. And as a, last November, the preacher stepped down. 2 weeks ago, they found out why. He'd been having a 5-year affair with a deacon's wife. 5 years. Now, whose households did he affect with that? His. Hers. And everybody in that congregation. They will all suffer the price. If that kind of thing happened here, what would happen with the teenage kids and the girls who've been around Mr. Wilson? And have begun to understand and had some great faith in him and his teaching. All destroyed. Surely the leaders will be better. They're worse. Their impact is so much greater. You know, the promiscuity, it really started with the leadership and spread down. Those we hold up and admire. So verse 6. Therefore a lion from the forest shall slay them. Pardon me. A wolf of the deserts shall destroy them. A leopard is watching their cities. Everyone who goes out of them shall be torn in pieces because their transgressions are many. Their apostasies are numerous. Yeah, probably they're literal wolves and leopards and lions. But you don't need to go that far. How about the ones we have to deal with today? Maybe it's Islam. The lion who's destroying us, this nation. Other religions, Jehovah's Witness, Catholic Church, all of them pulling the people down, destroying the nation. But if that's not enough, how about some other ones like the World Bank? That's a great institution. I think we should have a World Bank too. Well, a nice bank, you know. Bank of the lake, bank of the river, bank of something, but not a place where people put their money and they tell us how we're going to live with this in America or any other country. What makes some leader decide that what Jeff Hostetter has in his pocket belongs to them? Yeah, great. I got, I don't know. Yeah, I'm on a trip, so I have a little more cash than normal, so I I've got some cash in my pocket here. $100. I can put a tank full of gas in the car. A tank full of gas? When I first drove a gallon of gas, I saw it once at 19 cents a gallon. The first time I came to camp from Oregon, it was 99 cents a gallon. I helped put some gas in the cruiser before we headed over here at $60, and it wasn't empty. Somebody's taken money out of my pocket. A wolf, or a lion, or a leopard. Oh, United Nations, that's a good group. Greenpeace. You think their influence has anything to do with this? The Global Weather Changer Group? That's why we can't be on this side and get near the water. You know, it's a serious thing. You got to be careful with your cattle. They might actually do something on the ground. And that might actually end up going in the groundwater system and flow down and eventually end up in the lakes. We got to do something about that. There's people whose property has all but been confiscated from them because they can't have livestock on it because the livestock might actually do what livestock do. You don't believe me? Check it out. These are punishments from God, I believe. We had a free nation, we're losing it. Any of you think you're free? Anybody think you're free? How are we going to get this nation to repent? You know what? We aren't. There's not one of us in this audience going to bring this nation to repentance. We're to call for it. Jeremiah called for it. Did they repent? The history of Israel, the history of Judah, a little bit of repentance, more sin. A little bit of repentance, more punishment, more sin, on and on. And destroyed. Verses 7 and 8 kind of describe a nation getting to the rock bottom. How much lower do you go? As he's described these things that are going on, why should I pardon you? Your sons have forsaken me and sworn by those who are not gods. When I fed them to the full, what they do? They committed adultery. They trooped to the harlot's house. They were well fed, lusty horses, each one neighing after his neighbor's wife. I talked about the preacher. That's God speaking. When your morals are gone, there's not much left at all, personally. He fed them. They had prosperity. This nation had prosperity. In 2005, I happened to listen to that message that I shared with you in that year. I said that they took $7 trillion out of the stock market in 2000 to 2002. How much do you think that, and I warned, you know, and I paid no attention to what I said. I warned everybody that the housing market bubble was going to get burst. It did. Not in 2005. I told you I didn't know when, but they did it in late 2006. We don't know how far that bubble has gone. We're into it about $14 trillion. I don't think it's over. If you do, try to sell a house. You know what it means to be underwater? Drowning in debt. We had prosperity. What did we give it up for? In Solomon's day, gold and silver were common. So common it says they were just like stones. If it was common around here like that, we'd fill our pockets. And they committed adultery. Any of that sound at all like America to you? This adultery part? Yeah, does it strike any chords in your head there? I pulled some stuff together if I can find what I did with it. I slid it into this handy dandy thing here. When you get old enough, you automatically qualify for the AARP bulletin. I'm only holding this up to prove I qualify. for the last 8 years. It's all about how we should somehow or another fix this all with the government, by the way, which means I read this and get angry. Let's see here. This is an advertisement for the older adults. Full page, national publication, not cheap. Call it, based on what I know about what it costs to advertise in national publications, call it $75,000 for this page. Sex is never, it's never too late to learn something new, and they'll send you three videos. That's for the elderly. Why are the elderly hooked on this kind of stuff? Because they started it when they weren't quite so elderly? Now, this is just one page away from an article here. You can kind of see this. Maybe some of you can maybe pick this up here. That's the rainbow symbol. Anybody know what that means? AARP has created a new online home for the older lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender community. The page links to news stories on such hot topics as same-sex marriage. I'm going to throw up. Gay adoption and the repeal of the military's Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy, as well as articles on personal finance. What is it? What personal finance has to do with gays? What's the difference? Their finances are different than our finances? Travel and other issues of interest. Mr. Wilson, I don't know if you remember, but there was a time when they decided to have a gay assembly of some kind, and they chose to have it over in Butte. Supposed to be the toughest city in America. Supposed to be. Nothing happened. It's while I lived there. Late 1970s. We aren't just arriving there, but we sure are coming out of the closet, and I'm not just talking about the gays. We're coming out of the closet in every sin we can find that has any kind of a sexual nature. Governor Brown, that would be the guy who followed in the other governor from California who was a fornicator. When they signs Senate Bill number 48, textbooks and instructional materials must positively promote, quote, lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender Americans as role models. Public education. Children as young as 6 years old will be taught to admire homosexuality, same-sex marriages, bisexuality, and transsexuality, cross-dressing, and sex change operations. By the way, the state is broke. We paid $500,000 for a sex change operation for a prisoner in California. For a prisoner. I thought you lost your rights when you broke all the laws and they threw you in jail. I have a right. I used to be a guy, but now I want to be a girl. What? I paid for that? No, the state's too broke. All I'm paying is paying on the debt. All of the children are going to pay for that, if they ever make it that far. It's $35,000 a year health care bill per prisoner in California. No wonder they let them out. We can't afford to keep them in. Let society put up with them in what they steal, rob, and destroy. Children will be taught to support the political activism of lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, intersex, and questioning. It's called the LGBTIQ. Political groups, as the bill requires particular emphasis on portraying the role of these groups in contemporary society. These are quotes from the bill, guys. Teachers will be made to positively portray homosexuality, same-sex marriages, bisexual, transsexuality, because to be silent can bring the charge of, quote, reflecting adversely or promoting a discriminatory bias. The teachers are not going to be permitted to not teach this. School boards will be required to select textbooks. We can't afford the education system we have today in California. I don't know about Montana, but we're broke in California. Totally. Absolutely. Broke. Billions of dollars in debt, but we gotta go get new textbooks. if the school board doesn't, they get thrown, because to be silent on these subjects opens them up to charges of reflecting adversely or promoting a discriminatory bias. Parents will not be notified, nor will they be able to exempt their children from this new core curriculum. Math, reading, science, and homosexuality. Start with them at 6 and keep pumping it at them when they're 50. Sooner or later, they'll cave. And they did. And they will. Sound like the church? Now, I think it is. It was my goal as a father to raise my daughters. I was privileged of God to have two daughters. It was my privilege to walk down the aisle and present them to the husbands, pure and undefiled, which I believe is the way that the bride is supposed to be presented to the groom, according to my Bible. And isn't it true then that we are the bride of Christ? Shouldn't we be true and undefiled? It takes God's grace and His help and the help of the congregation, but mostly the parents, to raise children correctly. It doesn't take a village, and I do want my child left behind. Way, way, way behind. I don't want my child anywhere near the rest of them. So what are you doing to prepare your children? Are you a video gamer? You got that internet turned on? Not paying enough attention to it? 90% of 8 to 16-year-old children have already been exposed to pornography if they have access to a computer. And according to one study, one group, the number one group to watch porn is the children 11 to 17 years of age. The number one word typed into the search engines is only 3 letters long. It starts with an S and ends with an X, and you can fill in the middle. That word is used more than games, movies, jokes, cars, health, and jobs combined. The porn industry is up 650% in the last 15 years. Congratulations, we've arrived. The electronic age is here. I can tell you, as a child, the only place you could possibly have gotten this in my day was to get it out of a magazine. And the thing then was that dads would bring it home and have their secret stash. I learned from talking to my daughter Sarah, who had to spend 2 weeks with me as she's beginning to recover from a very serious surgery. We didn't have any secret stashes in our house. They knew where they all were. And it wasn't for porn. I didn't have any nasty magazines. But anything that we thought we had hidden from them, they knew where it was. In Job 31:1, he says, I have made a covenant with my eyes. Have you made a covenant with your eyes? Have you made a covenant with your children on their eyes? Are you paying any attention to what their eyes see? I talked about it starting with video games. The studies all show that's where it starts. The video games, I don't know how they're rated. I'm not a video gamer. I don't know how to play them. I tried one or two and I got killed too fast, so I quit. And I'm a real stick-to-it guy, you know? No, they're hard. I can't even beat Elliot at Mario Kart. Our overexposed society is producing record amounts of divorce, abortion, living together, and disease. It's really working, folks. We've got it going, don't we? And this is in the church. And I think there's probably some folks in this congregation. Years ago, I looked at a book written by Victor Knowles about Archie Ward, who preached in the 30s, 40s, 50s, and into the 60s. He preached until he was in his 80s. He was worried about a deck of cards. He was worried about a little bit of dance. What are we worried about? And it's coming right straight into your house. I told you a few years ago, I hit the the button to look at a Boeing 787, the new jet that they're building in Seattle. I was kind of interested in it, and I ended up at a porn site. I didn't hit the porn site. Trust me. But these people are so insidious, and Satan, who's behind them, is so insidious, it ended up there. You better be watching what the kids are watching. And if you think they're safe in a public place, we know of a young man, a Christian man in the church, his mother's in the church, they were at the library, she was with him, and the older guy next to him, using the public library internet, had porn up. She went and complained, and they said, it's his right. They're going to get exposed. What are you doing about it? You're making a covenant with their eyes. We can't call America to repent when the church won't repent. All this is rampant in the church and in our government. We can't change this nation until we start changing. When I was raising the girls, Mr. Wilson, in some of his messages, told us TVs were pretty bad. I got rid of it. I didn't go as far as he did. I think he took an axe to yours, right? No? Well, that's the story I've always told. So I can still tell it if I want. No. Whatever he did with his TV, he got rid of it. We got rid of our TV, and I think that's the reason that what I described about Anna and Sarah is true. I'm not sure I can get rid of my computer. It's part of how I communicate with people today. I'm at a little bit of a dilemma. But I can tell you I'm trying to be much, much, much more careful about what sites I click on. Did you know that when you watch on the free connection on the internet, when you watch Mr. Wilson preaching here on Christ Church, you get commercials? I can tell you they aren't godly commercials. Now, they weren't that bad. I mean, you know, sell a car, but it was a Dodge. Okay. The research, as I told you, indicates it starts with video gaming because you're training them to look at that TV set or that monitor or that toy when they're little, little, little. Be careful. Men, we must lead our families. I'll give you a quick example. While we were in Oregon, you know, as I've said, I've had two daughters. There was another family that were Christian. And that was in quotes for those of you who can't see me because you're listening to the tape. They were in the church. They were involved in the church. They were involved in the Christian school, the same school that the girls went to. They ridiculed Jane and I about some of the behaviors and things we had to say and teach. I told you that my daughters were delivered to their husbands pure and undefiled. How did they do with their two daughters of about the same age? Their oldest daughter is pregnant and living with the man. Their youngest daughter has many fornications by her own admission and has STDs and is married. I don't care if I get ridiculed. Your children are worth more than somebody's a little bit of ridicule. Or you don't care. If you don't repent when you go home from here, and spend more time with your children in a proper environment and doing the right things instead of the video games. And I'm not telling you every single video game's horrible. I don't know how they're rated. You got to run your households. But believe me, you better be paying attention to what's going on that internet. The difference in that family is the mother wore the pants, not the father. We didn't have the TV, they did. 1 Corinthians 6:15 through 20. That was 1 Corinthians 6:15-20. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take away the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? May it never be. Sounds a little bit like what Jeremiah was describing there. He talked about them he'd taken care of them and they become harlots. They become members with harlots. Or do you not know that the one who joins himself to a harlot is one body with her? For he says the two will become one flesh. I don't think that changes because you use the internet to do it. I don't believe that's different because you've used a computer. But the one who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee immorality. Flee immorality. Flee immorality. Emphasis added by me. Every other sin that a man commits is outside the body, but the immoral man sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own, for you have been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. You know, folks, men, if this is an issue for you, repent. The Holy Spirit really doesn't need to see this stuff. And chances are, it is an issue. Verse 9, which is the verse I was given to preach on. Shall I not punish these people, declares the Lord, and on a nation such as this shall I not avenge myself? He is working on us right now, and if we don't get our act together a little bit more as a nation, we're gone. And I think it's going to happen soon, but it shouldn't be the church. It shouldn't be the church, and it shouldn't be you as a member of the church. Moving on, verses 10 through 19. Verse 10, I won't read them, I'll just read them as I get to them. Go up through her vine rows and destroy, but do not execute a complete destruction. Strip away her branches, for they are not the Lord's. The prophetic judgment says, you know, it often exhorts the enemy to get busy and do this work that God wants him to do, the work of judgment. And so the enemy is supposed, if this is what we want for the church, just keep going down the paths we're on. And God will send the enemy to clean up the vine rows. There'll be a remnant. Verse 11, for the house of Israel and the house of Judah have dealt very treacherously with me, declares the Lord. In the Old Testament, that word treacherous, the idea is violating a sacred relationship. And when I looked up, such as marriage vows. You promise to do one thing and you do another. In Malachi 2:11, Judah has dealt treacherously, and an abomination has been committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. For Judah has profaned the sanctuary of the Lord, which he loves, and has married the daughter of a foreign god. Which foreign gods has America joined? Or Ghana? God of money? A harlot, as we've been describing? Time to repent. Verse 12. I like this one. They have lied about the Lord and said, not he. Misfortune will not come on us, and we will not see sword or famine. Just heard a story, and actually it was while Davis was down there with us. He and I went to the assembly in the morning together, and we heard the preacher tell a story of a family who were just so thrilled because they'd managed to get their little girl into a Christian school. Now, I don't know any of the circumstances. This is the story. It was related to us. And Davis, if I get it wrong, you can correct me later. The little girl was taught in the school about Genesis chapter 7 and the flood. And that God wiped out the world except for Noah, his family, and those who were on the ark. Right? Now, that is what happened, isn't it? Did that happen? Do you all believe it happened? Do you all believe it happened? Yeah, you do? The people of Judah said, not he. He wouldn't do that. Not he. Oh, not God. And that people that I'm talking about here with this little girl took her out of the school because said, my God wouldn't do that. My God wouldn't do that. What sin, maybe in your life or in the church, that we're not dealing with, it's certainly in America, it's certainly in Ghana, it's certainly in the world. What sin we're not dealing with, won't talk about, we're not allowed to talk about it. If I talk like I'm talking right now in the lunchroom at the cafeteria where I go to work, I'd be fired that day on the spot. I would. But they hang gay flags in there during gay Pride Month. I've talked to the leaders of our company. Okay. Jerry. Repent, Jerry! Where are you at? What are you doing? What have you seen that needs to be spoken against? Not he. God will destroy the nation. And you know, he's going to save his church. But he didn't say every one of us is going to get saved who claim to be the church. He did flood the world. He did destroy Israel and Judah. He did destroy the Jewish people and the religion. People doing it today are fake. Do we deserve better? And the only place that can be changed is individually. We got to decide. What they were saying is God is a liar and so are his prophets. Verse 13, the prophets are as wind and the word is not in him. Thus it be done to them. Jay, what this means is that basically you're a windbag. Mark, you're a windbag. Jeff, well, maybe Jeff, no. Jeff, they think you're a windbag. You preachers, anybody who's telling the truth, you're a windbag. That's what it says. I didn't make it up, I read it. It's right here. And the prophets are as wind. When you try to tell the truth, you're acting like a prophet did, trying to bring people to repentance, and they're going to call you a windbag. Okay. And they'll deny that you know the truth, and it'll get done to them just as God said it would. Verses 14 through 17, therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of hosts, because you have spoken this word, behold, I'm making my words in your mouth fire, and this people would, and it will consume them. It's like whatever, at this point, Jeremiah begins to say, it is in fact going to happen, and it's going to happen fast like a fire. And it is. Behold, I'm bringing a nation against you from afar, a house of Israel, of O house of Israel, declares the Lord. It is an enduring nation, an ancient nation, a nation whose language you do not know, nor can you understand what they say. You want to be God's spokesman? Call the windbag? And know that your words are going to come true? I stood here in 2005. I'm no prophet, son of a prophet, but I told you that they're going to collapse the housing market. They collapsed the housing market, didn't they? Any of you get caught in that? I did. It's a mess. And I guess I got to read these words and say, bring it on! Judgment is coming. That hasn't changed. From the very first sin in the garden till the very last time that somebody sins and God comes, judgment is coming. Bring it on. I don't want it now. I don't want it in my time. I worry about too many people. But a remnant will survive through this. Verse 18. Yet even in those days, declares the Lord, I will not make you a complete destruction. Well, that's not the case anymore. I believe it's over. I think the end's coming. And it shall come about when they say, why has the Lord our God done all these things to us? The Lord our God has done this to them? Huh? They did it to themselves. As you have forsaken me, then you shall say to them, as you have forsaken me and served foreign gods in your land, so you shall serve strangers in a land that is not yours. We're going to turn this around, put it right back on you. What you don't want, you're going to get. 20 through 28, it's kind of the reason why. Declare this in the house of Jacob and proclaim it in Judah, saying, hear this, O foolish and senseless people who have eyes, but see not. It's all around us. We can see it. It will just open our eyes. Who have ears, but hear not. Hey, the older I get, the harder my hearing, more hard of hearing I get, and the more I have to wear stronger and stronger glasses. I go every year to get a new pair. They love me. They see me coming in. They warm up the glassmaker, you know. Hey, I can't not read. You know, I got to read my Bible. Do you not fear me, declares the Lord? What's the problem in America? We don't fear God. What's the problem in the church? In the end, it's because we don't fear God. Do you not tremble in my presence? For I have placed the sand as a boundary for the sea, an eternal decree, so it cannot cross over. Though the waves toss, yet they cannot prevail. Though they roar, yet they cannot cross over it. Even in Japan, there was a limit to how far that tsunami could go. God set the limit. But this people has a stubborn and rebellious heart. They have turned aside and departed. It didn't matter. They didn't pay any attention. It didn't matter that you can look around and nature teaches us about God. Everything we see teaches us about God. we still, you know, it's not him. It's not going to happen. I'm going to be okay. Stubborn, rebellious. If you had a stubborn and rebellious child like this, you'd work really, really hard. But this, verse 24, they do not say in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God who gives rain in its season, but the autumn rain, both the autumn rain and spring rain, who keeps for us the appointed weeks of the harvest. You got food on your table? God put it there. Every place in the world, not just America. He puts the food on the table in Ghana. And at Jeff's house, it's really, really good. Your iniquities have turned these away, and your sons have withheld good from you. For wicked men are found among my people. They watch like fowlers, lying in wait. They set a trap. They catch men. That's a trap. The internet is a trap. You better be watching. Like a cage full of birds, so their houses are full of deceit. Therefore, they have become great and rich. Oh, really? They are fat. They are sleek. They also excel in deeds of wickedness. They do not plead the cause of the orphan that they may prosper, and they do not defend the rights of the poor. I thought I had brought it with me. Today in America, you see every company doing something they call a CSR. Anybody know what a CSR is? Yeah? Corporate social responsibility. The government has put pressure on all the businesses. So twice a year, at least, Safeway collects money by selling food bags. It's going on right now down at the store. I checked this morning. I checked to see they were properly displayed and have the sign up so I can report to the boss everything's in place. Okay, but hey, what are they going to do with it? We give this to the food bags. And what do they do with it? Safeway is not the biggest grocery chain in America by a long ways. We gave over $100 million of food to the food banks last year. Dollars worth of food is about a pound. 100 million pounds of food going to the food banks. From Safeway and all these other places. Why? So we can have corporate social responsibility. Well, that sounds really good, doesn't it? Hey, I was encouraged by my daughter to replace some rather old clothing when she was down there with me, and so I went to the men's warehouse and I bought a couple pairs of trousers and a pair of shoes because the other ones had hole in the soles. And she says, "You get this stuff, Dad," and we did. And you know, it'll look good on you, and you know, everything looks good on me, right? Yeah, no, maybe not. She had me try on several pairs before she said, "That looks good." And I guess she was just compromising or getting tired. In any event, the box that I took home from the store, there's a card and it says, please bring in your good, clean, used suits so we can give it to the poor. Every place you go today, you will find corporations of any significant size at all doing this CSR. And all that sounds really good. There's just one great big problem. It's not their job. It's the wrong group of people to be doing this. Anybody heard of WIC? Women, infants, and children. Because it wasn't quite so convenient for these people, some clever entrepreneur decided to open up grocery stores next door to the WIC offices and is doing a booming business in California out of his WIC stores next to the WIC offices. Because it's a little hard for us to manage this when now the state has requirements of how many of these we're going to have on the shelf and what we're going to do there and how we're going to run our stores, and we can't run them and be effective for you who aren't on WIC. It's big business, though. Food stamps. We've gone beyond these people having to be embarrassed in the line and having to hand out, tear the stamps out of the books and stuff like it was when I was in the check stands. Today they have an electronic benefits transfer card. A debit card on the government. Okay? This is big business. We reported our second quarter earnings here today. Safeway did. meaning we're halfway through the years, we have done $750 million of business with the government to feed the poor. I'm not talking about what we gave away. I'm talking about what money got taken out of your pockets and run through the government and given to Safeway for the food goods for these people. And you're saying, that's a good thing. We're helping the poor, right? No. By the way, the highest redemption as a percent of our business is in Washington, Oregon, and Montana. Congratulations! You're at the top. Well done. You're beating out California. What's the problem here? Why am I saying this is not a good thing? Who does God want to take care of the poor? The government? No. He wants the church to do it. He wants the individuals to do it. He wants it on a local level so that deadbeats don't stay as deadbeats. And they get busy and get jobs. He wants it to have a front end and a back end. He wants it finite. He wants the credit to go to him, not the government. Obama, I almost said Osama bin Laden, but I didn't mean that. Obama wants the credit. Your governor wants the credit. Your senators and your representatives want the credit, and God says it's my credit. And they want the credit so they can get the votes. And they want people voting for them because they're living off the dole. This is a great program, right? And how far down does the country go in the process? He wants us to do it because it's evangelistic. You need help, you talk to people who are givers. And this nation is still the greatest givers in the world. But not for much longer. We're getting to be too broke to give. Verse 29, shall I not punish these people, declares the Lord, on a nation such as this? Shall I not avenge myself? And the answer is yes. What's really sad, perhaps, is the next two verses. An appalling and horrible thing has happened in the land. The prophets prophesy. Jay, Mark, Jeff, and others are telling the truth, and they laugh at them because they're windbags. Oh, no. These prophets are prophesying falsely, which is what most of the pulpits are full of. Not just churches other than the Church of Christ. And the priests rule on their own authority, and my people love it so. He is not just talking about an unrepentant nation. He's talking about his people. And I believe that the Old Testament is there for the benefit of us in the New Testament. At least that's what my Bible says. How many people in the church love it so? Are there people in your congregation who need help but don't come to the church because they can go down to the WIC office and get the money and do it with the government? And so God does not get the glory. That's just one example. My people love it so. That just tore me up when I read it in context of getting ready for this message. Let me hurry on. I have to go over here to chapter 9, so we've got to cover all the verses in between. No, we don't. You're all saying, praise the Lord. Verse 1 of chapter 9. Oh, that my head were waters and my eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. The righteous man is always nauseated by the filth and corrupt company around us. The truly righteous man cries, cries, and cries for the people. The prophets cried. The prophet Jeremiah here said, I wish I was just simply a stream. My eyes are dried out. I can't do it anymore. I'm cried myself out. I wish I had more, that I might weep day and night. And I believe that it even says that Jesus cried. I think it said that Jesus cried. I know he cried out, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I have wanted to gather you under my wings. Why wouldn't they listen to God? And why won't the church today? Verse 2, oh, that I had in the desert a wayfarer's lodging place, that I might leave my people and go from them, for all of them are adulterers and assembly of treacherous men. Remember, he was told to go find one. It's so bad that Jeremiah wants his own little desert island. I know, men, you've seen things that are so bad and you're so tired of it. You've thought that thought. I have. Wouldn't it be great to just have a place where the church were the only people there and we could really do it right, huh? Don't you get tired of it? I hate June at work. Gay Pride Month, in case you missed that part. They're taking collections. You think I can preach? No. And, you know, before you knock Safeway, it's being required of them by the government. In case you didn't understand that. The leaders of Safeway don't really want to go there. They're pushed into it by the government. Verse 3. And they bend their tongue like bow. Lies and not truth prevail in the land, for they proceed from evil to evil, and they do not know me, declares the Lord. Now clearly, that's not happening. You can't possibly have the President of the United States telling a lie. They wouldn't lie to us, would they? I never had sex with that woman. Oh, really? You got caught red-handed. I love my wife. Oh, and I love my mistress too. Huh? Except my mistress might be a mistress. Well, I think I created a word. They contend not for the truth, but its opposite, lawlessness and injustice. Anybody see this? Hey, do you see this? Is it here? Is it in the church? Is this a problem? Or am I, you know, me and Jeremiah wasting our time? They proceed from evil to evil, and they do not know me, declares the Lord. It's like a board game, you know? Instead of going, you go around and you come back to go, you know, you go past Baltic Avenue and the rest of it on Monopoly, you know, get out of jail and all that kind of stuff. This starts out at evil, and you go around the board and you get to more evil. That's the board game of America. Unfortunately, too much, it's the board game of the church. And if it isn't the board game of the church, too often it's our board game. Oh, Mr. Hoffman, none of these things apply to me. Oh, well, find the one that does and use it. Repent of that. The one that you know you have. I'm not saying every one of you is a sinner. You've got to figure that out. You got to figure out where you stand. I can tell you there are things that I know better. And I permitted myself to do them. I know there have been times when I needed to speak out and I didn't. According to God's word, that's a sin. There's plenty of times that I needed to repent. And I'm working on it. That's not a good enough excuse. Look at verse 4. Let everyone be on guard against his neighbor. Not just some people, everyone. And do not trust any brother, because every brother deals craftily. Any and every? Isn't there some exceptions? Nope. And every neighbor goes about as a slanderer. You know what? I don't hardly know my neighbors. I live in a condominium. It's an apartment. I don't know who's around me. And they don't know me. Shame on me. I repent. They should know me. But I can tell you, it doesn't have a rainbow welcome mat at my house. Okay, some of you didn't get it. I did my best. No one can be trusted, not even your brothers. Not here in America, that's for sure. If it were, would our houses be locked and our cars be locked and our computers have locks? Our phones have locks. I don't have my phone. I left it over there. It has a lock on it. If it goes 30 minutes and I don't use it, it locks up. I got to unlock it to use it. Our suitcases have locks. What doesn't have a lock? And in many cases, it sure seems like the Bible's got a lock on it too. There's plenty of houses where that book doesn't get cracked open at all. Oh, and they still go to the church. And if you think I'm making this up, what was one of the problems that gets dealt with in the New Testament? Gossip in the church. That's what it is. Neighbors slandering neighbors. How about church members, brothers slandering brothers or sisters slandering sisters? It's happening. It may be happening to you. Think about what your lips do. Be careful what you're saying. Be careful what you're seeing. When you have conversation around your fires tonight, you be careful about who you talk about. I'm going to have to come see you about repentance. Talk about the man's message. But don't you dare run the man down. If you do, you better repent. He might come back tonight. I know, early morning, cloudless day. Verse 5. And everyone deceives his neighbor and does not speak the truth, and they have taught their tongue to speak lies. They weary themselves committing iniquity. Seems like James had to deal with the tongue too, didn't he? Can't be a problem in the church unless James was wrong. How about that, though? Did you read that? Catch that last line? They weary themselves committing iniquity. They do so much sinning, they get tired. Did you get that? They're exhausted. This Word of God teaches us that when you are a sinner, you're going to end up exhausted, physically a wreck, and mentally done for. And it promises for a Christian and a person who will dedicate themselves to God an abundant life. Now, which one do you want? You decide. You are not going to save America. I honestly believe this nation is too far gone. I don't think God is going to save it. I don't think Sodom and Gomorrah have anything over America. If you think it's different, come on down to San Francisco. Oh, by the way, go to Portland. Or maybe go over to someplace in Bozeman. You'll find the homosexuals. You'll find the harlots. Verse 6. Your dwelling is in the midst of deceit, though through deceit they refuse to know me, declares the Lord. He's speaking to Jeremiah. Jeremiah, you're living in a bad place. Davis Ashley, you're living in a bad place. Now, I don't mean your home with your wonderful children and my daughter. But you're living in America, and it's become a bad place. This is where you live. You're surrounded by men who don't want to know God. They not only reject everything we have to teach, but they don't want to know God. If I were God, I'd be throwing up my hands and saying, how can they not want to know me? I made them! I think according to the Scripture, that's kind of how he feels. How can they not want to know me? I'm their creator. How can the church not want to know God? And I'm talking about individuals, okay? How can the church, individual members, not want to know God? He made them, and according to the Scriptures, he's made them twice. They're born again. Therefore, says the Lord of hosts, behold, I will refine them and assay them, for what else can I do? Because of the daughter of my people. Refine means test by fire, right? It drives out the impurities as you heat it up. How hot's it got to be to get the impurity out of you? Out of the church. And out of America. I don't know. God doesn't have any choice about this. He has to do it. Because of who he is. Verse 8. Their tongue is a deadly arrow. It speaks deceit with his mouth. One speaks peace to his neighbor, but inwardly he sets an ambush for him. People like that have to go. They must go. You know people like this. Your neighbors. People around you. They talk really nice to your face, turn their back on you, you turn your back on them, you go somewhere else, and they run you down. I don't know that anybody could carry on a very long conversation in this country today without running somebody down somewhere. Or maybe it's just me, you know. I live in California. California's worse, you know. And there's going to be an earthquake that's going to fall off the face of the earth. So, okay. Right? You guys will all be happy when California's gone. Because it'll be so much better place. But it won't. But it won't. So verse 9. Shall I not punish them for these things, declares the Lord. A nation such as this shall I not avenge myself. Yeah. Then, I've repeatedly said, we're talking about the church. It says that Abraham would be the father of many nations. Which nations is he the father of? What many nations is this talking about? That's written in the New Testament, not the Old Testament. It's written in the book of Romans. What is the Apostle Paul talking about here? He's talking about the church. He's the father of the faithful. It's supposed to be faithful men. That must be the many nations. That must be the church. We got to call the nation to repent. Which nation? I can't deal with Montana or California or Dublin or the people in my building if I'm not right. If Jay, when they open me up, they don't see blazing light, how am I going to do it if I'm full of darkness? We got to stop right now in whatever it is that we're doing that is not right before our God. And if you're not sure, read the book and find out. And if you have to, ask somebody who can help you. That's why God put these kind of spiritual leaders around us. As soon as you know, stop. Turn around. Go the other direction. And every single sin that enters our life, started small. Read the Proverbs. The cords of your sins will bind you. You start out with a little sin and you get a little more practice and pretty soon you're pretty good at that sin and it's absolutely got you bound down. We got these things to strap the stuff to the back of Davis's truck today and you go and boy, it gets tight and boom. You know, we can get them really tight. That's how tight that sin will get. In Matthew 3:3, Matthew 11:21 through 24, Mark 1:15, Mark chapter 6, 7 through 14, all talking about repentance. Acts chapter 8, you know, story of Simon the sorcerer, you know, he wants this authority so I can cast out demons and so on and so forth. And what was Peter's answer to him? Repent! Your heart's not right! What was the problem when David numbered the nation of Israel? His heart wasn't right, so, you know, how many people had to die? How big a sin was that? Well, I'm going to count the men. And thousands die. And by the way, the book with the most use of the word repent is the book of Revelation. Used the most often in the book of Revelation. Which would sound kind of like, you know, if you think about what Jeremiah is trying to do and the book of Revelation is trying to do, it's probably kind of the same thing. The church is, you know, if Jeremiah moved forward into the New Testament, he probably would have been Revelation. Look at Luke chapter 13. Mr. Wilson touched on this last night. Luke chapter 13. I'm going to close with this. Now on the same occasion there were some present who reported to him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Sounds pretty bad. You know, that's a gross thing, right? And he answered and said to them, this is in red, so it must have been Jesus, do you suppose that these Galileans were greater sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered this fate? I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. That's straight from the Word of God. That's straight from the mouth of God. If all these other places weren't good enough for you. Or do you suppose that those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them were worse culprits than all the men who live in Jerusalem? Than all the men who live in Jerusalem. I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. It is time for America to repent, or it will perish, and I don't think it's going to repent. I might be wrong. I'm not saying God can't. But if the punishments He's been throwing at us aren't getting anybody's attention, what punishment will? Or do you think that the two towers are worse than the towers that Jesus talked about? 2,500 people had to die there. America repented as soon as 9/11 happened, right? They passed some laws. They didn't repent. The world has to repent or it will perish. And the world's not going to repent. We're told it's all going to burn up, so they're not going to repent. Okay? I think the world's too big for me, Jay. I can't do it. It's not too big for my God, but it's too big for me. I think the 300 plus million people who live in America are too many for me. I don't think I can do it. And I'm not a pessimist. The church must repent or she will perish. It's Jeremiah's message. Repent or perish. We know the church is made up of who? Individuals. Repent you. Repent you or perish. You don't have a secret sin. There's no place hidden. God sees them all. Repent, Davis, or perish. That's my son-in-law. I'd die for him tonight if it was necessary. You see that little guy in my chair? I love him with everything I have. I'd die for him. But the day will come when he has to do these things. I'm going to close this way. Repent, Jerry Hoffman, or perish. Thank you.